Hello and welcome to Net That Hall. I'm finally back here co-hosting with my co-host Gabriel at FPL Lens on X. And we're joined by a special guest and third co-host of the ship tonight, Kieran at FPL underscore discomfort on X. We're going to take you through the last game week of the season, game week 38. Sweet Prince Guardiola on the thumbnail from me to see the season out. And yeah, I'm looking forward to this one, guys. It's Tuesday to timestamp it if you're listening on podcast. Obviously, keep in mind any news you hear about injuries closer to deadline on Sunday. So whatever we say in this show, we will timestamp the matchups, but keep in mind what may have changed between now and deadline. But yeah, great to be back. And yeah, hand over to you guys, Gabe. I'm a bit rusty coming back on the show, but nice to see you guys have kept it afloat in my absence.
Man, thank you to the network that haulers that always like fill in Kieran and Craig, obviously leading the charge among those. So really appreciative to be back here for the final game week. You know, it's usually like a bittersweet time of year for me. It's not bitter. I'm not feeling bitter at all. I'm welcoming this final game week. And one of the reasons, I think one of the reasons is because we get to live vicariously through Kieran and his free hit in game week 38. Kieran, how are you feeling heading into this game week? Like, he has the biggest smile. He doesn't care. He's going to have so much. He's going to have the most fun this week. It's great.
It is. And for me in particular, it's just one of those that you enjoy because there's not this dread of the early kickoff. You made the wrong decision. Should you have got a player in a later game or the one on the Monday? They're all at the same time. So you kind of get your medicine at the end of 90 minutes. That's the cards you've been dealt. Did you make the right decisions? Did you go with enough punts? Did you take too many? Have you gone too differential? But it is. It's just, it's a fun way to end a season of ups and downs.
And this isn't the first season you're doing it, right? I remember last year, I think, the meets in Game Week 38 in London. I think you were on a free hit then as well, right?
Yeah, that was a particularly good one with people like Decore and double Everton defence in a 1-0 victory and other things like that. And I think it does kind of afford you the ability just to have a bit of fun there. And yeah, I think that week in particular outscored the template or average score by about 56 points, which you definitely take that at the end of the season because it's a green arrow. But I'm not kind of having those expectations necessarily this year. I think just any form of green would be nice to end it on.
Sounds good to me. I think hopefully we can only get green arrows. The game week isn't over, of course. So tonight we'll try to be out of here. It's 6 p.m., 6:15 almost. Game kicks off in 1 hour 45. I'm wearing my lily white shirt just for the occasion. All our North London brothers, we're there with you. Let's get them out of, let's get the Man City players out of this elite competition. Let's get a win. Will I go so far as saying, come on, you Spurs? Maybe when we get to the matchup, I will. I'll think about it. Kieran's there. He's the real Spurs fan, but I'm sure we'll hear more about that later as we go. First, we'll go to the philosophy, of course, and then we'll come back to the matchups themselves. So game week 38, see us out for the season, Gabe.
Here we go. FPL philosophy, the final one of the season, game week 38. Comes to us by the character's name is Jack, and it's from the movie Croupier. He's played by Clive Owen, and he has a mantra that he always tells himself in his head, and he says, "Hold on tightly, let go lightly." And I've always loved this, and ever since I saw that movie, I tell myself this very same thing because it's kind of just a reminder to, you know, always seek to improve. There's always like things to learn and awareness to have. And then when you get somewhere, just remember, like, and things don't work out, right? Or things work out differently than you expected, to let those expectations go and kind of like move on with the next. It's kind of like we move kind of thing, move on with the next information and then strive for that and strive for bettering your process. And then when things are unexpected, then again, let it go. So as we end the season, learn the lessons, but also let the season go.
I love it, man. I'm not going to lie. My version of that philosophy is so much more primitive and basic than yours. All I could see was the animal, the lemur, I think, in Madagascar singing, "I like to move it, move it." That's all I could, that's all I could see. I was like, oh, hold on tightly, let go lightly. I was like, I like to move it, move it. I was doing like a dance. I was like in Simpsons, like those monkeys in the guy's brain where they're like clapping the two like metal symbols together.
There's a similarity in the wisdom of like Homer Simpson and the wisdom of Yoda, for example. They say they have similar lessons to impart. Now, whichever way you learn that lesson, I think it's all good.
I love it. But anything you want to add, Kieran, before we go straight into the matchups for the weekend? And any final thoughts apart from my ridiculousness?
No. I think I always like Gabe's philosophies, because you do kind of pause for a moment there, and I think half the time ones like this are like essentially a juxtaposition. You're going, wait, how? Be really committed to something and then go, nah, relinquish it. It's one of those dilemmas that I think we do face on a weekly basis, in particular in FBL, right? And I think I probably do it the opposite way around, where I hold on lightly and let go tightly with certain decisions.
I like it. Very, very. You brought it back to FPL as well. I love it. Very good. Very good. So 6 minutes in, the first game of the game week, but actually all 10 are at once, as you mentioned. So this is one of my favorite game weeks of the season due to that reason. I actually land just before to preface this at 2:40 p.m. on Sunday from Morocco, which I'm going to leave. Once this show ends, I'm leaving in 6 hours to go to the airport. I have to pack and sleep in that time. Then after four nights, I arrive in London 1 hour, 40 minutes before Arsenal play Everton, and let's hope there's still something to play for going into that weekend. So this is a good net XG for the week. Arsenal 2.32 for the podcast listeners and Everton 0.68. So this is predicting that Arsenal will win, and it might come down to goal difference on the end of the season. So what do you think, Gabe? Is it from an asset point of view? This is where I'm using like my one free transfer. So for context, I already have Gabriel. I'm going to buy an attacking player. Someone is coming in. So depending on what you think of like tactically the matchups, it could be anyone. It doesn't have to be like Saka or Odegaard necessarily.
I mean, definitely not a repeat of Everton's 1-0 from last season. But if you're not tripled up on Arsenal, I mean, I think both Arsenal and City have an incredibly just like cake matchup, and I think you're targeting everything. The one thing, if you're gonna have some concern, is the XG map isn't great. So I kind of think of the XT map as the dangerous buildup and the chance creation. And that it doesn't really align with the zonal chances. But then if you don't have the XG difference there, then for me it casts a little bit of a doubt in terms of finishing and maybe Arsenal running up the score. And then we think of like the situation and the managers involved. Does Dyche finish the season with just getting hammered? I think Dyche sets up a Dyche team here and packs it in and makes it difficult and gets about like 37 blocks and like people like flying left and right. I think it'll actually take something from outside, from like Odegaard or something like that in this one for Arsenal. I do see Arsenal dominating, but I don't see Arsenal running away with it, despite the stats.
Yep, no, that seems fair. What about you, Kieran? Because I was thinking this as a game where we end up potentially, let's say, winning by a one-goal margin, if possible. And if City were to draw tonight, there's a world in which they would score so many against West Ham that they could ultimately still win regardless of drawing tonight, just through goal difference alone, right? So that does worry me that Gabe doesn't see a complete spanking, but West Ham, I'm worried, will have nothing to hold. So they're due that spanking. So Tottenham tonight, as I said, I'm with them. But what about you, Kieran? Would you look into Odegaard in my situation? So I'm going to be sending Bruno Fernandes from my 11 in terms of the context. But yeah, what do you like? I was looking at Saka, but what do you reckon?
Yeah, I think I'm never sure if it's fan goggles that make me feel a certain way or what it is I want to put weight in towards. All I know is, as an Arsenal fan, with us in contention going into the final game of the season, there's no way I'm not tripling up an Arsenal. Just there's no way in some way, shape or form. And it's a question of, is it two defence or two attackers? And I think the challenge there is just you're taking two midfield spots, right? In my perspective. So I'm kind of in that same dilemma. If I go with one attacker, who is it? I'm pretty firmly on Kai, I think. Just
okay.
Everything says to me, this is someone on form, someone who is involved in everything Arsenal are doing that's good. Even in the goals he's not involved in, the runs he's making is creating the positions for the other players, whether it's Odegaard on the outside of the box that's afforded that space because a centre-back's been dragged to sort of create that opening or whatever it may be. He is that key player. He holds the ball up well. And I think he's just, it's an out-of-position midfielder in the final game of the season. I can't turn down that opportunity. I think in terms of the game itself, I'd said to the two of you, and I've put a couple of threads out about sort of how game week 38 trends go. And we do typically overall see more goals in game week 38 than the average across that season. And it can be a combination of different things, whether teams have something to play for or not. But regardless, in the last nine seasons, Arsenal have won every single game that they've played. And they scored 30 goals in those games, like 5-0 against Wolves last season and so on. That Everton on the other side, outside of that game against last season against Bournemouth, that was their only win since like 2015-16. So typically when Everton have nothing to play for, no matter how strong they've been defensively through the season, they can be quite porous. So I think Dyche will set it up that way, as Gabe said. But I think the scoreline comes down to how quickly Arsenal were able to penetrate it and break through it. And if they manage that early on, then we could see a sort of 3-4 goal spree for Arsenal. So that's what's kind of making me balance it between. I don't think Everton are really going to cause too much of a threat. So I think the defence do feel pretty safe and Everton are, you know, reasonably vulnerable. Arsenal are just the best defence at, best team at set pieces. So, you know, Gabriel's definitely in there. But I think, yeah, Kai would be my pick. And then possibly Odegaard, just because teams focus more on Saka and they can limit his threat and he is happy to be that distraction in a game. He doesn't need to be in the main event. He will happily take those players away, feed the ball over to Odegaard, who will switch it over to Trossard and let Arsenal get in on that side, which we've seen quite a lot over the last few games in particular.
I like it. I feel like we've had a very good tactical breakdown of Arsenal. I hope the two of us, Kieran, can provide as much value in the other matchups as we do for Arsenal, who we watch every minute of, I know. So, yeah, I feel like we're giving all the best delivery up front. Nice to have this match first. But in the interest of time, because I know we'll talk about Arsenal players again, we've given this game about 5-6 minutes. I think we'll try to keep each game that is worth talking about this long. Some of them I know we might go faster over in terms of just pure FPL assets. It doesn't mean they won't be entertaining just from a neutral watch point of view, of course. So the second game...
One more quick thing.
Yeah, go on, sorry.
Thingamabob is asking, Son to Trossard. Given the uncertainties at right back for Everton, I do think... That left side could be where Arsenal penetrate, despite the maps showing kind of like the right side for creation and well, it's pretty neutral for penetration with the XG.
Sounds good. So we've got Brentford versus Newcastle. This is one which I'm interested in at the moment. I've got Burn on my bench. I've got Gordon on my bench. I'm starting Isak. That's my free from Newcastle going into game week 38. I'll read out the next year as well real quick before I let you guys jump in. So Brentford 1.43. They actually got the high in the XG this week, and Newcastle 1.38. It's like a very cagey game to me, but yeah, wonder how you guys read into this one. Is Ivan Toney in the shop window?
I mean, I don't know what you do with Toney, to be honest. I don't know how you kind of read this one. Newcastle away, that's the problem. Like their data away isn't great. We see all the data across the board there. For those in the podcast, we do like one thing I added for this game week, just as a special game week 38 surprise, is the XG per shot and shots per 90. I've been using those all season and find them kind of pretty useful for goal prediction and stuff like that. But I don't know. The only thing that worries me about the Newcastle assets is that they're away. But I currently have like Isak and Gordon starting. who do you start, Newcastle, or I think some people have Chelsea assets, right? After the past couple of game weeks, like do you start Newcastle against Brentford or Chelsea at home? When we look at that fixture, we can kind of go into those comparisons, but this is a tricky one that I don't know how to honestly, how, like tactically, I think Newcastle will be that they're both. Oh, I have the wrong map there for the predicted 11 for Brentford. But they're both like tactically astute teams. Brentford will likely be in a back five. So maybe Isak's upside is limited a little bit. But then there's his form. He is in good form. So it is a tough one for me. But I think that both teams score.
So you would agree with like the general 1-1 as a kind of starting point maybe with the net XG. And then whichever team can just, on the day, come out and outwit the other. Hopefully, we don't see many more players flying kites around like the Fulham squad before they did no favors for my beloved Kunas. yeah, so what do you reckon, Kira? So in terms of this game, are you playing all your Newcastle players? Because just on that note, like more of a meta point, I am starting Petrovic, Palmer and Jackson at home to Bournemouth, whereas I am benching the likes of Gordon and Byrne, obviously. So Isak, I'll play regardless, I think, as long as he's fit. There's talks of him having an illness. Him and Wilson are both being checked for the second fixture of the double game week as it stands.
Yeah, I think that's it. I think as things stand, Isak's been in a couple of drafts for the free hit, but not all of them. Because it's similar to what Gabe said here. This game doesn't really have an awful lot on it. It just feels like there's better options. If, for example, you're on a free hit, it just feels like there's better options in those positions. Anthony Gordon's just one of those where do we go with the narrative that it's away from home Anthony Gordon or whatever, that this is still someone trying to secure a spot for the Euros. So that doesn't necessarily mean that he'll get a goal, but it means that he will be very much focused on the game and one of the players that will be involved. We could also see... I can see here that we've got sort of Pope in the predicted lineups from Draft Alchemy. So, for example, you can see Pope back, you can see Trippier back, and that could have an impact for Newcastle. It's just one that I don't really want to risk anything on. I guess my question back to the two of you would be, some people possibly still have Ivan Toney at this stage. Is he someone that you think you might consider as moving on for a punt, or would you play him? Would he be an easy bench for you?
I think Gabe might have him, so I'll let you answer that one.
No, I don't have him, but I think if you own him, I think you just have to look at the delta, right? Like, what do you expect from Toney? What's the replacement option? And kind of like, it's game week 38, so you're going for upside here. And if we think that Toney's upside is somewhat limited, because Brentford have nothing to play for, then it depends who you're bringing in, right? Watkins may not have the Watkins could have the upside because he has a lot to play for. Palace have nothing to play for, but Watkins is away. So I think it's just about weighing the difference.
Yeah, no, I like that. I do really like that. I think for me, I would be playing Toney myself because similar to Gabe, I think I would look for upside in the Arsenal mids. And because there's no like Arsenal attacker, I just feel like there's no attacker I would really want to go to as a punt. The only attackers I looked at, Pedro was someone I'd considered, but then I know he was injured. They say he's going to be back for the next game now, so let's see. But I'd looked at freeing up money. So if I wasn't going to play in Isak, I would have taken a hit to downgrade him and then used another move in midfield to do like Gordon to Saka. And to fund it, I would have brought Isak down to someone. So that's the thing. Like, I'm not too wedded to any of the players in this game. I think it's going to be a 1-1, maybe 1-0 either way, and like there's not going to be major hauls. So yeah, for me, I think I'm happy to keep going on to the next ones, but if there's any questions about players from these teams, we will start them, guys, and come to them at the end as always. So we just quickly go to the next matchup, 18 minute 50 for the timestamp, Brighton versus Man United, speaking of the Devils. So yeah, Bruno Fernandes is in my team and Dallo's on my bench and Onana's on my bench. So from the three United, the two of them are benched, similar to the Newcastle United situation. 1.77 net XG for Brighton, 1.38 for Man United. I'm not sure the Brighton that the net XG thinks is going to show up will show up, but I'd love your take on that, Gabe. I feel like they're kind of just waiting for the season to reset and like get some key players back for from injuries.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think I don't think Brighton's really relevant or interesting. I mean, the 0.08 XG per shot is just can't go there with nothing to play for. But I think what's more interesting is what's the delta from Bruno to, like, is that going to be your transfer, Bruno to someone?
Yeah, probably. Yeah, to like Saka or to Kai Havertz, something like that. Odegaard.
Saka. Okay, so to basically an Arsenal mid, right?
Yeah, because I look at the rest of the team and I'm already benching Gordon, right? So I'm like, fucking hell, like, what am I going to do? Like, I'm going to have to sell someone good to buy a player. Whatever position I look at, having just come off a wild card, it's all already strong. So it's almost like very sideways, whatever move I make. I guess that's the... It's a good problem to have, right? I was about to say that's the problem I have, but I realized that's a very kind of first world FPL wild card problem that I've got positions stacked from days.
I think this fixture is a hard avoid on for every
you would asset. Avoid this. Wow, okay.
Everything.
So yeah. I'm benching Dalot and Onana. I'm not trying to get a clean sheet out of those guys here for sure.
You're benching Dalot and Onana and you're selling Bruno. So I guess you agree that this is an avoid.
That is an avoid. But I wanted to see if even despite that you don't think Brighton have really much to play for, you're like, you know what? Like this could United, what I understand is if they finish seventh, they have to do like a two-legged qualifier leg in like August, like home and away, into what the new version of like the Conference League will be. So if I was United, I would rather get eighth and like not have to do that. Those two extra fixtures to qualify for like a much lower division of Europe, especially if you don't have the squad depth and you're trying to revamp, right? So there's a rebuild coming. I think that's the main message here. But yeah, okay, let's keep going because it doesn't sound like beyond us kind of saying that we're benching and selling the players. I don't think anyone's looking to buy Brighton or Man United assets this week. And there was a question from the Discord, which I'll answer now for BW Spitter to get it out the way, because it was actually related to Brighton. I don't know if you saw it, Gabe. Did you see it?
No.
You'll love this one then. So he said, with the breaking news that he's returned to the bench today, how essential is Tarek Lamptey in double game week 37 if your name is FPL Nima? So that was before last game week, and I wasn't here at the time, right? So I'm just coming and reading it out now, like a week later. And Tarek Lamptey,
bless you. I did see that. That was last week. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that was a good one. I love that one. So just a shout out to you while I've been away. Thanks for keeping up with the following. And anything you want to say about these two teams, Kieran? And then I think we'll keep going.
No, nothing in particular. I think it's exactly what you both said there. This game could go anywhere. It could be a couple of goals for either team. I'm sure, I don't know how true this stat is, but we know how many shots Man United have conceded per game this season. And I think I heard that it's more than Derby were conceding in their worst ever season in Premier League history. So, it's not a defence that you're looking to start. You're not looking to really start any Brighton players. I guess if you bought in João Pedro for a bench boost for game week 37 and missed out on him playing, then yeah, you probably start him in this game. But outside of that, there's nothing really exciting about it, is there?
No, I don't think so. So we'll keep going in that case. Burnley versus Nottingham Forest. Another one that I think we're going to go through even more swiftly. Nottingham Forest 1.6 net XG, Burnley 1.33. I guess the question is, we should ask after every matchup, do you have these players in your team on your free hit, Kieran? Because if you don't have any players from any of the six slots available to you in either team here, then those are the ones we're going to spend less time on, basically, because it's all about upside. It's all about the final game week punt, settling for rank or chasing rank. That's what we're here for, right?
Yeah, I think so. But also, people are still going to have some of these players. So still worth us covering at a high level. But I guess high level answers your question. No one's deliberately in it, but I'm not opposed to Chris Wood, for example, because there's still a possibility where Forest can go down if lose and overturn a 12-goal swing or something crazy like that. So, you know, I think Forest will be going there to do something and Burnley are already down. So if there's either side you're going to pin your hat on, it's probably the team that have something to fight for, even though it's highly unlikely that they can get relegated. They know that all they've got to do is secure a point or get a goal. So again, I'm not going to be targeting any of them for an upside on a free hit. Chris Wood would just be in there as sort of that striker bench option for 4.x million or however cheap he is.
Yeah, I think some people might get him, like what I was saying, right? Like if you're not going to play Isak, if you sell him to fund an upgrade in midfield, things like that.
To bring in Salah, yeah. He's one of those players that people are considering. If you want to get Salah in, then you downgrade Isak to Chris Wood. And then you can start him potentially over an Anthony Gordon. You're kind of picking your poison at that point.
Yeah, we'll go draft Malcolm. It says one thing, though, which is that Wood is a bit of a minutes risk with Awoniyi back. So that could be something to look out for as well. And especially one reason why you'll probably not go there. Even if there was team news that told you he starts, you can't trust it because team news isn't.
There are no starters in this fixture. There are
no starters. Well, they've had 2 whole minutes. So unfortunately, I'm sorry if you're a Forest fan or a Burnley fan. We love you guys. You're all haulers with us. But for the interest of FPL and for the final game we pass, we'll go to Chelsea versus Bournemouth.
The reason you're haulers is because you don't have players from that fixture.
yeah, exactly. I hope you've been listening long enough to have not ended up here in Game Week 38 with the core of your team being made out of those fixtures. So, yeah, this one's Chelsea versus Bournemouth. This is going to be an exciting one. 2.45 net XG for Chelsea at home, 1.12 for Bournemouth. Solanke's still popping up with the goals. Him and Watkins just quietly going about business every week still since we went for double Game Week strikers. Speaking of which, the impressive upgrade of Nico Jackson's second half of the season. He scored so many goals in the last, say, 7 games, and it probably like matches like the entire 14 or so, 20 before that. So he is on it now. But what do you guys think? Is he captainable? Am I going crazy? Is he a final day captain punt? I just want to throw it straight out there.
I mean, I think there are some interesting comparisons here. One, Nico Jackson compared to Darwin Nunez, they used to be the two players that couldn't hit the broadside of a barn. And it's nice to see Nico Jackson developed. And two, Nico Jackson's chance creation as a, like, it's just laying it off to players in good positions. I think he has several assists, so he has different routes to points, which makes him really interesting. And so, like, Nico Jackson or Isak, which one do you start? I think that's an interesting comparison.
Yeah, if you had to pick, that's a tough one. I'd have to, I think for me, I'm a sucker for the home fixture. But the ownership, because Gabe knows what I'm like, but with it being the final week, I'm like, you know what? I just have to play the one I think gets the most points, and this week it would be Jackson for me.
Yeah, I'd agree with you? I've had Jackson, again, as someone I'm considering in a few of the drafts as kind of that second striker spot. Gabe and I last week, when we were talking about double game week 37, we're like, it could be a game where Mudryk does well. And lo and behold, Mudryk's obviously done well in game week 37 so far. But agreeing with draft alchemy, like, he's probably the most at-risk position in that Chelsea team, isn't he, with Sterling now. Well, I still think Mudryk would start personally, but Sterling is there to take this off of him in this final game. I'll tell you the thing that I'm considering, and you're both going to tell me I'm crazy for it. I've got a few drafts without Cole Palmer. Neither's face is frozen there. What do you think about not having Cole Palmer in a free hit team?
I think but it's crazy because he's getting it's like crazy. What Gabe said, right? Like, just the way Jackson has routes to points with the just laying off a few balls, times that by like 10 for the chances Cole will have to like create the end product. And then it's like,
one of the best net XG of the game week, 5.8 central zonal chances matchup is massive. I think Thingamabob mentioned that in the chat. And then it's the most red XG zone for Chelsea. So he has the chance creation. And this is the thing with Cole Palmer. It's too many things lining up, especially in a home fixture. I don't think he's the guy to take on.
And they've overtaken United, right? And they've got the better goal difference. They want to finish the season strong. The project could be going places.
I guess it's that thing, right, where owning Cole Palmer is not enough because in this game, everyone owns him. So to get the advantage, you do have to consider that additional Chelsea spot if you think they're doing well here. And so therefore, yeah, it's almost suicidal to remove Cole Palmer and put all of your eggs into a Nicholas Jackson when Christian Nkunku gets to start the game, for example, or whatever may happen. You know, Reece James has been a consideration as someone who could be fun returning for it, but I also have question marks as to whether or not Reece James will last 60 minutes if he started a game. We don't have much evidence to say he will. So, it's one of those where I like Cole Palmer and it makes so much sense. And I think Chelsea probably get a penalty or two in a game like this. I saw someone say, and actually it's an interesting reference point about Nicholas Jackson, but if you took Cole Palmer's penalties and handed them to Jackson and said that Jackson scored them, he'd be on 24 goals for the season, which completely changes the narrative. That power of penalties changes a player's season significantly.
I think he has a ridiculous amount of non-penalty goals. Yeah, he's on 14 goals on his debut season.
But then, it might be 23 then, but yeah, it's crazy, right? That is so high. But there is penalties and Cole Palmer's on it. So yeah, I think I'm probably going up on the double up there. I was trying to find a way to not have Cole Palmer.
You got talked straight out of it on the free kick.
Well, no, it's one of those. He's not the one to sacrifice. Like, if you want to take the gamble, do you sacrifice Son, who's playing as a striker, for example, which sounds good, but isn't. It's more those kind of things where Sheffield United seems like a better fixture. But yeah, this could ruin the free hit team rather than create a moment and not really needed to go against him.
Yeah, Jackson would have to score those penalties. Draft Alchemy says, if my grandmother had wheels, she'd be a bike.
Yeah, there was that asterisk of the assumption that he scores them. I think it makes sense because, again, just some of the season data I saw is whether it's some players just leaving lazy legs behind or whatever it may be. But for most seasons, we do see more penalties in game week 38 than a normal game week. It could just be lazier challenges. It could be lazier refereeing. It could be anything, ultimately. But, therefore, I probably shouldn't avoid Chelsea penalty taker.
That is a reason to play, to start Anthony Gordon and Isak. If there will be penalties, Gordon will win it. Isak will bury it.
True.
I love it. But let's keep going in the interest of time. We will come back to some of these players in the questions. I am starring them all, and I'll be putting random messages up on screen to shout out everyone who's here in the live chat. So Crystal Palace versus Aston Villa. This is a big game in terms of things to play for. Crystal Palace, though, the team in form, 2.28 in XG. Aston Villa away from home, 1.19. In this game, what we've got to think about, I guess, is if Crystal Palace can win this and Tottenham beat City tonight and win the final game against Sheffield United, is it? Then, boy, like, they could get Champions League, right? So do you guys think that Villa can withstand this game? Or I feel like I'm not sure if Unai Emery is going to be able to get that final way over the line, if I'm honest with you. I just feel like Palace are doing so well right now. And I just don't see, even though they don't have anything to play for, I just don't think Villa can do it. But maybe I'm wrong.
I didn't like Palace away in 37. And I mean, I think Palace are done. I think Palace, what we're seeing in Palace and what we're all excited about is all next season stuff. I think they're done for this season. And Villa have just way too much to play for. I think Oliver Glasner is a good tactician. And you know, Munoz will be in Villa's box in an area where Villa sends their Dean or Moreno, they'll send them forward and Munoz will be in that spot. So Munoz could get something here for Palace. But I think Villa secure the fourth spot. I think Emery just gets it done and they play a pragmatic game at Selhurst Park. What's weird is the stats don't match the maps. So the stats are showing Crystal Palace zonal chances 4.2 on the left and 4.5 on the right, everything's red for Villa, and then the maps are flipped for expected threat. We're looking at the flanks for Villa, and then the XG is a deep red on the left hand side for Villa. So it's contradictory stats. I think make it a little dicey to call, but if I'm looking at these two teams and I'm looking at the managers, I think Emery gets it done and secures fourth.
I like that. What do you think, Kieran? Obviously, let's not tell our North London neighbours that just yet. Let them get their win first so that it is still possible on the last day. But
for me, that's what a lot of it comes down to. if Manchester City fluke their way to a victory tonight, then Villa don't need to do anything. You know, the game means nothing for them. So they can be as on the beach as Palace, for example. Regardless, though, I just think Villa are so weak and vulnerable at the back. And when they do go forward, their offside trap just seems so much easier to get through, as if they're not all in sync with each other. Maybe it's sort of the legginess from the European exploits, etc., end of the season. But again, a lot of the decisions yesterday were very close. But typically, and I saw it firsthand when we were playing them at the Emirates, you're not going to get into a position against them. You're not going to exploit that offside trap. And I think that's just one of the concerns here. And I have Elise almost as a lock in my team. I just love Elise for this game week. You know, this is a player who, even if the team aren't on it, he is. And he's just trying to be on everyone's mind going into the transfer window. He is double digit hauls game week after game week after game week. And it's just a fun, exciting player in the final game week. I also have, and look, he's not going to be starting unless I'm going for a super expensive midfield. But Mutesa is a realistic option as well for me, just in that strike spot. He's 5 million. So again, people that are looking to bring Salah in by downgrading Isak, Mutesa's there saying hi. And he is a good option in this. I think he'll probably get an earlier sub than normal, because I think Glasner will try and give Edouard a few extra minutes in the final game week if the opportunity's there. And the opportunity will be there, because the game doesn't really mean too much for Palace. But if I'm not mistaken as well, they are on 46 points, 2 points behind Bournemouth and Brighton. If Brighton lose and Palace win, then they finish top 10, which is pretty impressive. And there is more money that comes with that. So from a club perspective, finishing 10th rather than 12th is quite significant. So I do think they'll go into it with that intention. So yeah, I'm almost certainly going to have Elise in my team.
I like that. I think BW Splitter in the chat says they'd love to be able to get Eze or Elise this week. And yeah, Mateta's a great cheap enabler as well. So I think that's all very good. I think this might be one of the top matchups of the week when we look at the summary at the end. I'm sure it's in the top five at least. So we'll have a look when we get there. But anything you want to say on this, final thoughts on this matchup, Gabe? I know you had thoughts about Ollie Watkins. Do you think it's too far now for him to get that golden boot after the insane haul from Haaland recently?
Yeah, that's probably done. I love the Elise shout. I agree. A player in that kind of form, I think final game week at home, we'll put on a show. So, and I agree, he can get in behind Villa. So, yeah, I definitely like that shout on the free hit.
Nice. I don't know if you can see the notes on the Palace predicted 11 or not, but my screen is too small to see that. I don't know if you can, but I'll keep going unless you can see those notes, and I'll let you read those out before we go from Draft Alchemy.
I can see them right here. So what notes? Just all of them?
Just the Palace one, he said. Take a look
at the Palace, yeah.
Palace predicted 11 graphic.
So I'm looking at 50% for Hughes in terms of central midfield, reserves, Edouard, Schlupp, Gay.
I think he means the yellow box there that has the notes part.
Oh, well, that's small.
It's okay. Really
Hughes,
small,
if
right?
If Hughes is not ready, Eze might get shifted further back. If Hughes is not ready, Eze might get shifted further back. There we go. Sorry.
There we go. Yeah, I could not see that. Thank you for finding that, though. That's one to keep in mind. Maybe it makes you lean more towards Elise this week instead of Eze if you were going to take that punt, BW Splitter. So Liverpool versus Wolves. 2.3 next year for Liverpool, 1.1 for Wolves. Liverpool's safe, right? Like, they're guaranteed third no matter what. How do we see this playing out? Do we see Liverpool go with their best 11 and fight for it? Or, you know, Klopp's farewell, final home tie? Like, what are we expecting here? Is it just going to be like a bit of a day out in the fairground with the family and kids?
Or does it all go to shit? And just like, it's like he argues with Salah fucking smacks Darwin. I don't know what's going to happen.
After what happened 3-1 up in the last game in a few minutes to let Villa come back last night, yeah, they might be a bit hot heads there.
I mean, Liverpool, 25 and a half shots per 90. It's outrageous. But I don't know. I think they rally. I think they come together and they deliver a comfortable win against Wolves. It says a zonal chance creation there down the center for Liverpool, but the expected threat map kind of favors the right for the chance creation. I think with Trent back, that probably hints a little more in that direction. Speaking of Trent, do you have Trent on your free hit, Kieran?
He's in a few of them, yeah.
Yeah, that's what I'm so I think Trent could be really interesting here. The XG is also deep red on the right side as well. So yeah, this could be like the classic kind of Trent Salah kind of haul goodbye week. But I know someone said in the chat that I don't know, they were like half joking, but that Salah looks done. But I don't know if I agree with that, but Salah doesn't have the it's all taking a pause. Yeah, FPL K9. Everything he does is pause. He doesn't do that receive the ball and go into the space behind and then cut in near post anymore. It's receive the ball. The guy covers him. He passes it back. Receive the ball. Guy covers him. He squares it to Darwin, who sends it over the bar. So I don't know. I don't know. I think Salah is done for the season, but he still could get something here. But I like Trent.
So a lot of people are going in heavy, like going for a Salah because he's a lower owned than the Arsenal midfielders. Would you take more of a hit, Gabe, to get to Salah instead of like a Saka or a Kai or a Odegaard? Would you do that? Or do you feel that it's more that it's done? You're on the more it's done camp. Like he might get something, but you don't think it's going to be a massive haul.
And he's too close to the other ones. Like Salah is not a standout anymore for me. He's close to the Sakas of the world, the Havertz, the Odegaard. I mean, they're close enough. And so for a hit, that's definitely not worth it. I don't even know if I would do that transfer just for as a free transfer, unless it's if you have somebody like Bruno, then going to Salah makes sense. But I think if you have a decent mid that's playing, or if you're that, then it doesn't really make sense for me.
Yeah, fair enough. But what about you, Kieran? Any assets? So I know you've talked about Trent, you guys, but do you have any thoughts on any punts? Like just someone who no one's thought about yet?
I guess I'm probably two, if not three, Liverpool players on my free hit team. One comment about the Villa one that was really weird, but like Salah looked like he was going to boot Elliot when he slid to try and take that goal that was offside off of Salah's foot. And I think that is one of the problems sort of on a wider basis that Elliot is moving into the spaces that Salah likes to make the runs from the right into. So there's someone already there. So he's hanging back, because what's the point of both of you being in there and getting in each other's way like they did? And I think that is one of those risks there. I'm going with so many narratives of past info as a prediction for this one, just from an enjoyment factor. So, for example, just a few of them that I like. Wolves have played in the last 9 years 5 games on the final game week, lost all 5 of them, conceding 2.8 goals per game and scoring 0.4 goals per game. Including a 5-0 loss to Arsenal, a 3-1 loss to Liverpool. Now, to their credit, they've had to play Liverpool away, Chelsea away, United at home, Liverpool away, Arsenal away, now Liverpool away again in their 6 seasons in the Premier League. So take those stats, obviously, with a pinch of salt and in the context of that and the fact that it's past, which doesn't predict future. But with the same merit, like, it's Liverpool, it's Klopp's final game, the 4th longest standing Premier League manager of one club behind Ferguson, Wenger, Moyes. And again, just fun narratives. Arsene Wenger's final home game, 5-0 victory against Burnley. Alex Ferguson's final home game, 5 goals scored in a 5-all draw and a Lukaku hat-trick for West Brom. There's a lot of goals sometimes, and it almost is as if players do want the manager to go out with a bit of fun there. And the manager also probably sends that message to them of,
go out there. It's my final game in charge of you. Be yourself, play your game. With less pressure, less orders on it, more just that free approach. So Cody Hakpo is definitely a striker I'm considering. I just think he's in good positions, but there's a risk there of Darwin. But if I get the news that Hakpo's starting, I probably prefer him over going with a midfielder. Diaz has been in my mind, but on a free here, I can't wrap my head around going for a Liverpool midfielder, not Salah, when Salah's fit. It just, if I'm going for one, it just has to be Salah on the free.
Can I give you a reason?
You can give me one, yeah.
Nelson Semedo at right center back, because Dawson's out.
That's a very good reason, isn't it?
I know.
I had not seen that on the graphic or had that knowledge. Maybe.
Food for thought.
Another draft. Yeah, there's going to be more drafts made. But no, I think Trent's in there. I've been going with the most boring goalkeepers at times. So, for example, I don't think Wolves are going to do much in here. So you can do worse than a free hit of going Alisson, just because you kind of feel secure in your 6 points there. But at the same time, this is a Liverpool team that conceded 2 goals in 2 seconds against Villa when they were leading 3-1. So I don't know if I necessarily want to double up on Liverpool defence. And if I want Trent, it just seems like, I know you're not going for Trent necessarily for that clean sheet, but it just feels that goal being conceded hurts more on a free hit. So yeah, it will probably be Trent and one attacker. And Cody Hakpo being a striker when the striker options aren't exciting me too much. There's a few interesting ones like Mateta, Jackson that we've gone through, Isak. You have to throw Cody Hakpo into that mix as well.
Yeah, I think no one on the show before they listened would have considered him. So I'm glad that you've got that shout out there, because I would never have recommended him myself because I'm not in the market for a striker. So it's good to have someone on a different strategy on the last day. And obviously all the viewers are on different paths now. So do take what we say with a pinch of salt, and maybe in the Q&A do give us context of if you're using a chip like Kieran. I'd love to know if there's anyone on triple captain in the chat. I know there's a few free hitters. It's a bit more vogue now. It happens more often than back when you first did it. But yeah,
a few people as well, and I'd love to see it in the comments, but I heard there's a few people who looked at the transfers that would be needed to fix a bench boost for this current game week. And went, do you know what? Actually, I can make some moves and just bench boost game week 38. So I'd be interested in anyone who's in that position, because that could also be
where they waited the bench boost in 38. Yeah, that's true.
Because if you're looking at taking a minus 16, let's say in game week 37 for your bench boost, you're probably going, is it worth it? Or do I just start making a few moves and bench boost? And I know that was a conversation on the timeline on Twitter. So I'd be interested if anyone here has done that, just to hear some of their thoughts.
Yeah, for sure. Let us know. So the next game, I'm not going to spend long on this one, to be honest. I don't think Luton can stay up at this point. The goal difference is too crazy, as we said, but you never know. Luton versus Fulham, 1.8 net XG for Fulham, 1.41 for Luton. I just don't see it. Like, I'm sure Luton will score, but even if they won, like, say, 2-0 or 2-1, like, it's not going to be enough. Like, Forest would have to get absolutely slaughtered, right? Isn't it like a double-digit goal difference? It's pretty big.
Yeah. 12.
So mathematically, technically, let's say Luton won 6-0, yeah, and then Forest lost 7-0, 6-0 or 7-0, then it would start to get into play. Do we think those two matchups in particular can throw us up a last minute Aguero style moment, but in a relegation battle, or is it all but done for Luton?
It's all but done, isn't it? The only way that had any feasible chances if they were playing each other, right? Because all Luton then have to do is win 6-0, because by default, Forest would lose 6-0. It's dumb, but my view on this game is just, I think Luton go out with a bang. Final home game in the Premier League in front of their fans. More to play for than Fulham, who good at home, but yeah, away from home, particularly with nothing to play for. We saw them flying kites last week. I have minimal hopes for Fulham this week. It wouldn't surprise me if Luton did pummel 3 or 4 past them, but you're not bringing in a Luton player. I would say, though, if you've got an Alfie Doughty, I would quite like playing him this week or starting him, just because I think there is a lot of upside potential there, because I do think Luton will score goals just in their final Prem game. But outside of that, no one of interest whatsoever.
Yeah, fair enough. I think if you've got Alfie Doughty, as you said, I would definitely look at playing him potentially, but not really sure I'd be looking to buy anyone from either team. So unless you really want to have any burning comments, Gabe, I think we go to the more relevant FPL matchups.
Yeah, there's another fixture to avoid, but I do like Andres Pereira. I'll do like the one last shout because it's the last time we're facing Luton, get players who operate between the lines. So Andres Pereira will get something.
I'm excited to see how that one goes. I do feel bad for this one, though, because we only gave that matchup about 2 minutes, 20 seconds, and some matchups got like 6, 7, 8 minutes, but it is what it is.
Colm will forgive us.
Forgive us, Colm. We're sorry, mate. Man City versus West Ham. This is where the made-up time will come into.
There we go.
The 2.85 net XG for Man City, 0.99 for West Ham. We're looking at a 3-0, 3-1 maybe. Hopefully not a 5 or 6-0 as I mentioned I'm scared of, Gabe. But how do you see this one playing out? Because the central zone or chances is 6.8 for Man City, which I think 7 is what the maximum is, maybe, or does it go higher? Or it
no, this is like number of chances. That's Mariners metrics.
Oh, that's Mariners metrics. Yeah,
it's okay. Out of the 7, yeah.
No, okay, fine, but that's still crazy. I'm sure it's probably the top zonal matchup of the week. We'll see in the summary. But yeah, I'm Haaland captain, so I'm just wondering if that's the only thing I can realistically say here with the net XG being probably the best of the week, the central zonal. I don't know if it's even worth a punt elsewhere for me personally, but some don't even have Haaland, right? So,
I mean, I think City absolutely steamroll West Ham here at home with, you know, goals at least to make sure, just in case if anything goes wrong. We'll see what happens in today's match, but 2.85 net XG is massive. 6.8 predicted chances created from the center, 5.8 created chances predicted from the left hand side. So left and center for chance creation, you have to like De Bruyne here. De Bruyne, Foden, and Haaland are the ones for me. And I think there's a case to say like to captain someone other than Haaland. Maybe De Bruyne operating, like taking advantage of the chances created and even the central and left area XG maps there. I think there's a shout for that, but I think City just hammer them, no pun intended.
So triple City attack on the free hit if it was you then, Gabe. What about you, Kieran? Yeah. What's your free hit City players? I've got free players. I've got Haaland, Foden, Guardiola, but I'm obviously not a free hit. So would you move the defender out?
Also on this one, I'm a triple up on West Ham attacks. I think, you know, just Man City are an awful team that they'll just get absolutely exploited by Pacheco. I wish that could be the case, right? I wish it was a case to make anything for West Ham doing absolutely anything in this game. They won't. I can't remember. I think you might have shared it with me, but David Moyes made a quote of, I don't think our team could stop Man City's under 14s from winning against us,
yeah.
Which really fills you with confidence. So I unfortunately agree. It's a question of how many, really, for Man City. And I think if they draw today against Spurs, then it will be, the answer will be, how many do we need? And that's what the concern is, because they just are that ruthless, horrible team. So I'm going to have Guardiola because it's a defender playing left wing. It's just crazy not to have him. I know Gabe and I sort of spoke about him last week and went, it's just a purple patch, bang, 21 points. And if he gets 7 points, it'll be the record score of a defender in any game week. So listen to us for more advice on Man City defenders. But no, I think I just have to go with him in a game like this because I don't see West Ham scoring at all. That whilst he's taking up a defensive spot, well, he's not. He's an attacker, ultimately.
Yeah, it feels like he's playing that kind of left winger for Man City, right? He's doing what Doku and Grealish can't right now.
He should have taken that pen. I wish he would have taken that pen.
I wish he'd taken it.
But he knows a goal difference could count, right? Like, could you imagine?
Yeah. He's that smart. Pen
and they lose by one goal difference. Like, that scenario, he would just be like, great, you went to score a hat-trick and we lost. At least if the penalty taker misses it, not my problem. But I agree.
Don't blame yourself. Blame the dropped points that happened after that. Where it made it to you had to rely on goal difference at the time.
Right now, they're not relying on it at all, right, Kieran? They might absolutely steamroll through Spurs.
He didn't take it because the team itself, because they're not totally comfortable, they're not confident that they won't drop points. I think they're hitting themselves a little bit. City are, but I think they hammer. they just destroy West Ham here.
They'll destroy West Ham, and I think that I've had. Well, Haaland's always been in the team. There's just no getting away from that on a free hit. I wish there was a way of getting away from it on a free hit. There isn't. And then it's Foden or KDB, or who I want either. Logic, for anyone listening, yes, you want at least one of them in a free hit team alongside it. I'd argue probably more Foden just because of recency and the fact that I did think KDB limited Foden's upside. But Foden just seems to be doing still pretty solid, and I'd rather him seeing out the entire game. The reason why I'm not going to go for it is today's game will influence whether or not I have that additional Man City midfielder. If Spurs get something away from it, I don't want Man City to get more goals. I just don't. So I don't want to have one of their players additionally in my team.
That's a fair point, you know. I like that.
Nothing FPL related, just I don't want Foden or KDB to get a return.
I don't
want to
root for them. Yeah,
we need that. Yeah,
but that's like for me, that like when my captain blanked this week, I was like, oh damn, why is, like, you know, 4-0? I was so upset, but then the Guardiola points and the Foden points, they made me feel like, okay, now we become Spurs fans, then we become West Ham fans. So like each week, I was a Liverpool fan last night. It's I might have to get as many jerseys as some of these other rappers out there who come and watch Prem games each season, different team they got support.
I tweeted that the other day. I went, hang on, let me get my head around this. I'm a Liverpool fan today. I'm a Spurs fan tomorrow. And then I can be an Arsenal fan again. And someone made a comment, I think, yeah, I can't remember who it was, but very valid. They went, you know, you don't have to support them and it's not going to impact the result whatsoever. Oh, yeah.
I just like supporting them. Yeah.
But I don't have to be. In fact, like, I've been an Arsenal fan for 30 plus years. It hasn't led to us win anything recently. Like, my fandom is not really impacting the team whatsoever. I'm not having any impact on it. But yeah, on a wider basis, that is one of those reasons where purely on a selfish Arsenal fan narrative, where if it is one about goal difference, etc., and it can come down to that, or even if it's not, I want Man City to draw this game, so I'll just have Haaland and Gvardiol and be happy with it, type of attitude. But for anyone looking
leaving out Foden and KDB, I like that.
But I think you should have one of them if you're on a free hit. I think you should have at least one.
You just won't if they drop points today. Fair enough. Yeah. We'll keep going, Gabe. Just a comment from Gareth, quite a nice one. Maybe Areola for the save point on the free hit. So Gareth is also on a free hit himself and looking forward to seeing how you're attacking this week, Kieran. But yeah, let's keep going. Last matchup of the week, Sheffield United versus Tottenham. So if Tottenham on that same side of the coin now get something for Man City to drop points tonight, how do we feel going into this game? Let's say it's halftime. They get news that Crystal Palace is winning 2-0. And they are, you know, Tottenham's up 1-0. Halftime. What do you think is going to happen? I think this could end 4-5, 6-0 for Tottenham if Palace do the business. I am also relying on them getting points tonight, because otherwise then it's completely irrelevant.
But I mean, what's interesting about tonight is I was looking at the lineup and it looks like James Maddison is lined up at left, at the 11 spot on the left wing. I checked SofaScore and that seems to be the lineup. And I think, like, if Maddison is playing the left wing against Sheffield United, I could see him getting something good. I think I'd see him finding some form from that position as Son kind of pulls that back three around. I think Tottenham obviously win this game quite easily. It's the flanks are lighting up there. Zonal chance creation is from that left-hand side. So maybe putting Maddison there again could accentuate that. He could create a lot of chances from that side. And then the XG is coming from the right side there. So Brennan Johnson. So maybe something like Maddison creating for BJ as Son occupies the back three. Some pattern like that could go down in this one. Do you have any Spurs players on any drafts there, Karen?
I've had Poro in a few of them just because, again, like you've said on the matchup there, and I can see on Draft Alchemy's thing, like, we don't know who's going to play that left-back position for Sheffield United on a wider basis, and it's been my narrative the whole way through the season. Sheffield United are so exploitable out wide, particularly from overlapping fullback runs with the opportunity to pull the ball back to late arriving midfielders. I think that's just the easiest way to get at them alongside set pieces. And for that reason, that's what's making me not like Son, because he's playing through the middle. I don't think he's as exciting through the middle. I think it limits the things he's good at. And I know I've said it on a few shows I've been on here. And he's not a threat from set pieces. So just all of those factors, I wouldn't particularly want to go with him. And I feel like I need a Spurs attacker. I agree with you. I think Sheffield United get absolutely hammered here. I think Spurs, regardless of whether or not they win today, they still need a point to guarantee finishing in fifth. Because Newcastle are currently 6 points behind them. So they need a point. So they will need something for it. They will go out for it. My gut feels like Sheffield United get a goal just with how much Spurs may have to go for it or may go for it. I think that they can be hit on the break. So yeah, I can see 4 or 5 goals for Spurs. And that just then creates that issue of who do I then bring into the team from a Spurs midfielder perspective? If I see that many goals, is it crazy not to? But you just don't know. Like with Kulu being rested today, it makes sense. They've gone with a super defensive midfield three with who is it? It's Højbjerg, Bentancur, and Matasar. So they've done that instead of having Maddison in there. They won't do that for Sheffield United. It will be more in line with what we've got here. But I don't think Johnson finishes his chance as well. I don't think Kulu is selfish enough. And I don't think Maddison's been reliable. So it kind of puts me in that situation where I think Spurs score a lot of goals, but I can't tell you who from the Spurs attack is involved in those goals. Whereas with other teams, I do feel a bit more confident in saying Foden, Kai Havertz, Cole Palmer, Elise, etc. So at the moment, I don't really have any of them, and that does worry me.
That is interesting. You have none of them. I have Son and Poro at the moment, and there's not even been a thought to move them on. But I can see how you might want to go against it on a free hit as well. So there is an interesting strategy element to it. I would wait to see what happens tonight, obviously, as with everything. Like, we could be in a situation where, like, you know, Foden, Haaland, Guardiola, Son, any of these players, Palmer, Jackson, Poro, all of them are going to play again before next game week, and all of them could get injured or suspended with a red card. So let's hope get the prayer circle ready for that Rodri red card tonight. But, you know, I don't wish injuries on anyone. No injuries on anyone, just red cards. Just red cards.
Spurs set piece goal here. Romero, maybe.
Yeah, I like that.
That was a bit of a sucker punch, wasn't it, to the people who went for Romero for the goal threat and ended up seeing the Van de Ven goal.
Actually, yeah, so here's something I will say on that. So I was on a Twitter space and just briefly, just on Romero goals. He's so bad. Like, if you actually go back, and I went back and watched his goals, the first goal he scored this season, if Romero gets the correct contact on a header, he will not score. He scores by not making contact correctly with it. So, for example, his goal against Brentford was in the 11th minute. It hit him so hard in the face that he was substituted off in the
14th minute. For concussion, yeah. Okay.
His goal against West Ham was a looping header that he went to get power on it, and his head went past it, and it hit the top of his head and went into the top corner. And then 2 of his goals have been him in a striker position, absolutely smashing the ball. So I just look at Romero and go, he's not that great. If he was good at heading the ball, then surely he could get his head on at least one defensive set piece. He can't. And on the attacking thing, ones, though, he gets
attacking
one. He doesn't score. He just.
That's what I was going to say. I think people saw that, like, if there's games they're chasing, suddenly he's like playing center forward or something. And so they forgot maybe the set piece chances weren't the greatest quality when he did score. In fact, I'd forgotten about the concussion. Wow, it's been a long season now. Reminded me of that one. But let's go to the summary. I think read out the main matchup. Then we've got some questions from the Discord and from the YouTube as well. So Let's see what we got here. We have game week 38, 1 hour, 4 minutes. If you're listening on podcast and you want to come and see the summary slides, should we just say maybe the top five matchups? And then obviously each one will have been covered individually. Where should we go? We should start with the net XG, and then I'll let you maybe do some of the shots per 90 and like XG per shot and things like that. Because that's a nice addition you've made this week, I think.
Let's do it.
Nice. So yeah, Man City is top, isn't it? So the next year, 2.85. They're definitely leading the pack. Chelsea home to Bournemouth, 2.45 in second. Then I think we have Arsenal, 2.32, home to Everton. Then I think we have a 2.28, Crystal Palace home to Villa. And finally, we round that up with Spurs away at Sheffield United with 2.13. The only team playing away with a net XG over two this week. So that really tells you that that should be a juicy fixture as well. I'm scared for Kieran without any Spurs players on his free hit. I'm scared for him. But yeah, what is there anything else that stands out for you, I guess, from the shot-based goal predictor or the XG data?
I think the key thing is like there are tiers, right? So you have Manchester City way above the rest, like over 0.5 XG more than the next group. Mm. Then you have the group around like 2.3 to 2.4 kind of group, and you're looking at Arsenal, Chelsea, Palace, Liverpool, and then Spurs maybe a tier below that. So I guess when constructing a free hit, maybe that's probably how I would start it. I'd like to like maybe compare Kieran's current thing with the numbers there. And then, but moving over, then Manchester City, they have by far the highest net XG, and then they also have the second highest shots per 90. And if we're looking at the shots per 90, there's like the tier of Liverpool and City, then the next tier of around 20 for Arsenal, Chelsea, Fulham. So now you have like two things supporting Arsenal and Chelsea, couple and Liverpool, and two massive things supporting kind of Man City as the top. So I think kind of lending weight to the idea that triple Man City attack is kind of the way to go. And maybe doubling up on that Arsenal defense with Everton's net XG being by far the lowest of the game week, 0.68. Or Kieran, what thoughts of triple Arsenal defense on free hit to get those to fit some extra like juicy midfielders in that we were talking about?
Yeah, it's one of those games that you do feel pretty comfortable and confident in a clean sheet. And I think Raya just feels like one of the safe goalkeeper options on a free hit, given his price point. I like Alisson and I like Edison for the same reasons, just looking at the fixtures this week, who they're playing against. They do look quite safe for a clean sheet. But Raya's going to get a clean sheet as well and does make sense. And then I think you're going to have a Gabriel still in there. So, yeah, I can see that. And it's probably where you can do more things. I guess the question or the challenge is you're looking at a Pedro Porro, you're looking at a Gvardiol, you're looking at a Trent. They all have more attacking upside than that second or third Arsenal defender. So on that free hit, it's kind of getting that balance right where you probably want a Gvardiol, Gabriel, and then you've only got one spot left there, really, because you're only going to play back three in a free hit. So you could have Raya as that goalkeeper, but are you going to pick Ben White or Saliba over Trent? No. Over Gvardiol? No. Over Porro? No. So it's that kind of challenge there. So I think, in principle, it makes a lot of sense, and I think people will go for it, and I like it. I personally am just leaning more on the upside of it and just going for sort of the ceilings of players on the free hit game week. But I do think that you're probably safe with securing that clean sheet if you do go with the triple Arsenal defence.
I like that shot. I hadn't even considered it at the start of the episode on the free hit, the idea of the triple defence. But I'm glad Gabe brought that up before we go to the questions, just because it's definitely an interesting strategic play. And I think I would actually consider it on a free hit.
I guess one thing I would just say that's quite interesting when you look at this and just in general, the top scoring teams in the last six game weeks are Man City, Chelsea, Palace, Arsenal, Newcastle. And remove Newcastle from that, but four of them have really nice home fixtures this week. really nice open pictures, and that kind of overlaps. I guess the thing, and going back to it, Porro is in my thinking more so than a Spurs player, and I do like that, but I think it's just that fact that Spurs haven't really been scoring many goals, have they, recently? Like, they got a couple against Arsenal and a couple against Liverpool, but if you remove those four goals, I think they've scored five in their other four games in the last six. I think they've only scored nine in their last six games. So that it's not as if we've got anything to tell us that they will score three or four goals. Just the matchup say that it's the opportunity and a great opportunity for them to do so. But we haven't seen anything from them to actually merit us having the confidence on it. So just on Gabe's wider point, I agree. I think the majority of my three hit teams, no matter what the drafts have been made up of Man City, Chelsea, Arsenal, Liverpool, Palace. In fact, I think every player has been that, plus a Spurs player here or there. So it's really only six teams that I've been focused on. And it just so happens and is nice that they all have really nice fixtures, and Spurs are the only one to have an away fixture, but it's a really nice fixture.
Yeah, I think they're almost like the extra one. Yeah, I can see that. But how about we go to the thank you to the haulers first, and then we'll do the Q&A. So quick shout out to everyone. Thanks for the support on YouTube and on Patreon. First, our super haulers, FPL Robbie, Greenback Golf, Harbour Boy, David Harrison, FPL Discomfort, True Fandela, Haulers, Dread FPL, Podner, Kevin Rose, C Hunt, Blonde, Escott is M, FPL Teacher, Donny FPL, Tom Gorsuch, Davinder Raj, Lindsay, FPL DG Boy, Akshay, Dom, Claire FPL, Terce, Catherine A, Harry Not Kane, Sebastian Koo, Neil, Benjamin Lockwood, FPL Rubber Ducky, Big Mike, General Zod, FPL Planner, Mark Bond, FPL Eric, Grady, Prasad, Jasker and Singh, BW Splitter, the FPL Juice Show, Patreon, Lucy and Gan, Elron, FPL California, Mike Burke, Gunk, Dr. Green Farm, Michael Rodriguez, and Daddy Bot. Thank you all for your support. We will go to the Q&A. Let me just timestamp that as well so we have that for after the show. Why don't we start with the Discord ones? Then we'll take it from there. So we have FPL Hunt. Thank you, buddy. They ask, Salah captain, or is West Ham too shite? I wasn't sure whether to say that verbatim, but there we go. So essentially it's like, do you captain a City player against West Ham because they're going to leak goals, or is a Salah cap an exciting final farewell for Klopp? I'll let you guys do this one for FPL Hunt. Each of you maybe give your input on whether Salah captain or Man City.
Not for you. No,
it's a nice narrative, but the narrative is there, right? Salah last game at home for Klopp. Salah may or may not be there next season. It's a nice narrative. I think people will do it almost. Well, I think anyone who brings Salah in for a hit will captain him as a means to justify him bringing him in for a hit. Mm-hmm. But I'd agree with what Gabe says. I think I'm going Arsenal or City attackers before I'm going Salah. I think having Salah will be more than enough as a differential, because he's going to be in the top 100k and people that are playing, etc., he's going to be 10-15% owned, so you don't need to double down on it.
Fair enough. We've got one from Sebastian Koo. Best 1 week punt, Olise, Kai.
Sorry, I'm just going to go on Wheel of Names and do random picker. That's just genuinely my opinion on it, I think.
It's a great question. It's a great question.
Yeah, it's either or.
Kai. Because of the stakes, it's just dominating is important in that game. Elise's vibes. And we believe the vibes. They're believable vibes. But Kai is consequence.
Sorry, I think you might have got that sound effect of the clap in there. Wheel of Names actually agrees with you as well. Kai Havertz it randomly selected.
I think I'm going to be buying probably Saka, but Kai would be my next pick. So I have to go with what I'm doing and back my moves.
I might captain Kai. Like, Kai is definitely a captain consideration for me. Again, it's the Arsenal focus on it, and a lot of it, again, will depend on what happens today. But I can see Kai getting two attacking returns in this game. And he's a midfielder. So I like going for someone like him, as opposed to, if you're going to go against Haaland, I'd rather go with a midfielder than an attacker, or than a striker, rather.
Like that. So we've got Fingerman Bob. Back to the YouTube live questions now. So what high percentage owned player would you bet against for game week 38 for mini league chasers? So would you go against someone like Isaac Palmerson?
I'll go down the list of the most highly owned players if you want, and you guys can say which ones you would take on. So from top to bottom, Saka, Saliba, Watkins, Gabriel, Trippier still, Solanke, Odegaard. Those are the relevant ones. Hold on. Let me make sure there aren't any filters. One? No, hold on. No, sorry. Haaland, Saka, Palmer, Isak, Foden, Saliba, Watkins, Son, Gabriel, Gordon, Salah.
I take on Isak, Son, Gordon. Well, in order, I take on Gordon above all of the other ones in terms of midfielders. Defenders.
I'm benching him, so I'd definitely be taking him on too.
but I guess
so if I was to look at Gordon's 10th on the list at 26%. Isak is fourth on the list at 42%. Given the benefit, I think Isak might be the one, that comes to mind.
Like play Gordon and bench Isak because you get like a bit more of a gain if Gordon pops off.
Gordon, comparing those two is interesting too. But like if I'm just gonna take one on. Right, like if I like say I'm going to bench Gordon and I'm going to sell Isak and bring somebody in, it would be one of those higher owned. If I was really going to take one on, it would be Son would be a good one to take on as well at 34%.
Yep, I like that. So FPL.
But I've learned the lesson here. Don't take on Palmer. Is what my take.
Yeah, I didn't even get. Yeah, no one's mentioning Palmer.
The three that you've named of Isak, Palmer, Son, Isak or Son would be how answer out of those three, and Palmer. I've definitely been reminded not to do that.
Yeah, definitely. So FPL K9 asks, 11 points behind in the mini league. My differentials are Wilson and Havertz. The rest of my team is template. Who's the biggest upside pick this week? Gordon to Olise or Wilson to Jackson? Any alternatives you can think of? I have to see, obviously, the second game from Jackson this game week. But I would be leaning to Wilson to Jackson because of the whole kind of like getting a European spot situation again. I'd rather go for a team where I think they're going to be playing for something. But would you go for Olise, any of you?
Yeah,
points. Brother. That's what you got to catch.
I guess the key thing is like a midfielder has a better chance of getting bonus points and a double digit haul for doing less. So you have a better chance theoretically just from that if they got the same output. If there's a way you can do it though, just sort of. If we were to go with an alternate, and I don't know how much money you've got in the bank, K9, but like if you could do Gordon to Luis Diaz, then that could be one to explore.
Mm-hmm. I'm just having a look
for that.
I'm just having a look at some of these EOs. Yeah, so Draft Alchemy asked, is Kai really a punt? So on live FPL, obviously this week, like maybe some people were on free hit or they benched him if they didn't have bench boost, but he's only 6.6% EO. So like for me, like anything under 25% effective ownership, I'd consider that differential. And like with captaincy, I would look at 125% and below. So if it's like below, because captaincy is obviously 200% of the points you're getting. So, you know, like at that point, I'm looking at my team and my threats, for example. Players like Son, Isak, Foden, they're all in my team and it doesn't really give me anything. And even the Haaland captaincy, it still gives me nothing because it's so close to 100%. So it does feel like there's a lot of these template players we all have. And maybe if you really do want to chase, as you say, that the idea is you should actually sell one of those or not captain them and just go for that one final week to finish ahead of a specific person in your mini league, if that's what you're aiming for. But for me, with trying to like just maintain where I am, like back in the top 100K after last season, not finishing in it as well, I'm like less likely to... That's why I'd go for like a Saka, right? Because for me, he's like 20% and I've got the money to do it in a free move from Bruno. So I don't need to take a hit or do anything. But I'd say Havertz is definitely more of a punt than Saka. If you didn't think that was enough, you could go Odegaard or Trossard. I think they'd be even lower owned than Havertz, like single digit percentages. See, there's good options there from Arsenal with that matchup. But what about this one, the Gakpo punt? I know that you mentioned him earlier, so it's a good time to bring him back. Salah captain, Gakpo punt. Let us know, Fingerman Bob, if the plan would be to bring both of them in, so have the Salah captaincy and own Gakpo, or is it that if you buy Gakpo, you're not going to buy Salah and captain him? Let us know. But I like both.
I prefer Gordon to Diaz. I prefer Diaz to Gakpo.
Diaz.
Yeah, okay. I was thinking that as well. Yeah, I was going to say that. Just probably got the money for that, where you could get Gakpo over. Do you prefer Gakpo over Jackson?
No,
I don't think so.
Not for me.
But your order then of sort of possible moves would be Jackson, Gakpo, Diaz, sort of him moving on that midfielder or striker spot.
I think so, yeah. So captain Havertz or Haaland if chasing mini league 11 points they mentioned. I wouldn't captain Havertz. Like he
no, yeah, I wouldn't captain Havertz.
Yeah, I wouldn't. Yeah, I wouldn't. That's what I'm gonna say there. These are quick fire anyway, so we're gonna give you guys a bit of time before the show to get ready. So Draft Alchemy, I really like this as a last question, a high level meta question. So thoughts on the impact of leaks on the final day schedule where we have kickoffs all at the same time?
You want to be at FPL meets for it, because then you have everyone else doing it for you, was my thing that I found out last season. Everyone else cared about all the lineups that I was hitting, and they're like, so-and-so starts. Cool, into the team you go. And I didn't have to spend my day looking on Twitter. The fact that they're all coming out at the same time means that we're just going to get leaks at all kinds of different times.
It's too much information, right? It's just like non-stop barrage of
info. Yeah, and look, there's not going to be... We look at previous seasons, Man City rotated, lost 1-0 to Brentford in the final game of the season, right? Because they had two more competitions they had finals for. And they'd already won the Prem. Man City aren't going to rotate. And if you've got a random Man City defender in there, then you've been playing with fire the whole time if it's not Kvaradzic. Arsenal, we're putting the same 11 out every single game. So in terms of like teams that matter... Chelsea assets are going to start. I don't really see much of an impact here. I don't know who's going to rotate players. I don't see it really happening. I think.
And would you buy any of them, right? So let's say you heard like Jesus starts or Martinelli starts. Like, I don't think you'd be getting them if you heard like Darwin Nunez started. Like, are these players you would bring in on the free hit just because you knew they started?
No. I wouldn't suddenly change to Darwin Nunez. If Darwin Nunez starts, then I'm not having a Liverpool striker. It's that simple. If Martinelli starts, I'd love to go for him, but I'm not considering Trossard anyway, and I wouldn't put him above the other ones. And I think all the leagues will do is there are people who enjoy sharing the leagues on there, and it's a lot of what they do and their credibility, whatever. So they'll continue to do it. But I would just advise people to, like, don't spend your last game of the season playing this game, causing additional stress. Like, fine, if there's one player you're looking to punt on, look out and see if you can get a leak for that particular player. But don't be refreshing for Man City.
About everything else, yeah.
Like, so I'll be on it won't be worth it.
I think I'll have to do my transfer for the first time in Game Week 38 in years, like, without the leaks. But just my thought on the leaks, because there is actually a very funny story. I don't know if it's funny for the person involved, but a few seasons ago, the person who was first was ahead by a few points, and there was a leak that Salah and Trent, I think, were benched, and a lot of people did the Salah to Mane move and then captain Mane, and this guy was like in a mountain and had no signal and didn't see that leak, and then someone else finished first in the world in FPL with a huge swing because everyone else saw that leak, who was like second, third, fourth, fifth, and it made that move. So the reason I said funny in a way is because I thought, how sad am I that if that was me and I had that chance to finish first after 38 weeks and I was leading the pack, I don't know. Personally, I'd be somewhere where the signal didn't work with the idea of potential leaks. That's all I'm saying. Like, obviously, fair play to them for living a life and treating it like a game. It's probably much healthier. But I just found the whole thing ludicrous. Maybe that's just me.
It's also one of those, right, where we've seen leaks this season. And I was, you know, this thing the first time I met you at one of the FPL meets. But I was given information by someone that I knew personally at Arsenal that Nketiah was going to start, Martinelli was going to start a striker a certain game week. He didn't because something happened and tactics were changed. But Martinelli came off the bench and got two attacking returns in like the final 5 minutes. So it's one of those where you can sometimes make decisions based on a leak, but substitutes are getting a lot of attacking returns this season. So if they were fit enough to be on the bench, they still can come on. And you can sometimes just end up shooting yourself in the foot by going with a lead and then seeing that player get subbed off, your player come on and going, why didn't I just keep them?
I always prefer to not have that variable of doubt in my head as well, because you're like, if I'd not seen that, I wouldn't have done that. And then even though it would have been wrong to not make the move, by not having the info, you would have potentially ended up in a better situation. Like you say, if I heard Salah didn't start, I sold him. I remember a few seasons ago. And then he came off the bench against Bournemouth, I think, and scored a brace. But like, if I'd never been told he didn't start, Palace. And last minute, was it Palace? Yeah, and yeah. I remember I was like, yeah, I held on to him for all this time, and like captain penalty misses and stuff, I think. And then the one final week.
Well, I did the same. Yeah. I did the same on that one. I remember that Salah one. I was driving back from picking something up in London, and I was living at a friend's at the time. And he suddenly started messaging me going, you jammy. I'm like, wait, what? He's like, Mo's just come on and absolutely called. I'm like, come on. I'm just parking the car and ran around for a little bit. But look, I guess the key thing about Leeds, and it's almost full circle, but if we went back to Gabe's philosophy for this game week, I think really that would be my approach to Leeds. You know, just like, forget about it. Relinquish control of that. Like, there's so many other things. Why give yourself another stress on the final game week of the season? Just have fun. All the games are starting at the same time. And, you know, maybe listen to Nima's partner show, FPL Juice, who are one of the haulers here, because they do Streamception and they'll do it for you. So you could just put your headphones on, go for a walk, and listen out to them doing it for you.
Just hear all the streams combined. It's truly an inception. But two, three quick fire questions and we'll get out of here. 1 hour 30 max, so I think we've done well here for time.
Have we done Discord as well, just to check?
Yeah, we led with that. So we're doing well. There's only like a couple of questions. We've got It's Benji, BW Splitter, and Draft Alchemy. So It's Benji 95 asked, score predictions for tonight. So just a quick one here. I had not looked at the lineup that you guys mentioned, so I'll let you give your score predictions first.
I was very 4-1 City.
4-1. Wow. Let's see. Yeah, it's not looking good.
Skip is playing left back, yeah?
No. I think Van de Ven and Dragusin's playing centre back, and I think Van de Ven.
Oh, okay. Dragusin came in.
I was watching Above Average yesterday, and they were just saying like whether or not Van de Ven would start on left back, and apparently Ange made a comment after, and he's like, "Mate, I don't think his hamstrings can manage it for an entire game." Because he has to do so much for them, like bailing them out, that he's like, they're running forward as well. Are you mad for 90 minutes? No, we can't do that. We'll break him before the end of the season. But yeah, it does look like he's playing. I don't think he's playing that attacking left-back role. I think he is playing a sit-back and stop Bernardo from finding all of those pockets of spaces he does.
Yeah.
Do not let KDB float the ball over your head to Bernardo just chilling by the corner flag. You are tall. You are fast. Stop Bernardo.
So what's your score prediction?
2-2. Yeah, 2-2. Come on, you draws.
I like that. I feel like what Gabe said is the most realistic, especially if they score early on. I think it could be like 2-3-0 at halftime to City. But I'm just going to hope that records that I never use for my decision-making stand firm today. So I'm going to go for 2-0 to Spurs.
Okay.
I'm going to go for that. Because, yeah, that's just based on the last five away games. But no, the last four, it's been 2-0, 2-0, 1-0, 1-0, I think. So, yeah, so it's been a while since City scored at the new Spurs Stadium, but records are there to be broken. And, you know, I think there was an interview, I don't know if you saw it, Kieran, but they did an interview of, it was last season after Pep won the treble, and they asked him how you can get better next year. Like, and he said, scoring a goal at Spurs away. He knew. Looks like he knew. He knew back then, a year ago, when he won it.
They did that in the cup. They got it out of the way now. Well done. You had it. Like, you don't
exactly. You know, yeah, they got it out of their system. Yeah. Go back to not scoring in the league against them, please.
What I'd say, like, anyone who's listening to this later on, whether it's on YouTube or on Spotify or any podcast, if you come back onto the YouTube and make a comment and you're at game week 39 or eight, you're at the sort of kickoff for FBL next season, and you say you're a Spurs fan, and you want Spurs to win today, and you get a result, I will buy you a drink. Just come on here, make that comment, and I will happily buy you a drink if Spurs get a result today. Because as an Arsenal fan, I'm here with you, Spurs fans, today. I will be with you
You won't get the tattoo. I've seen some people offer.
I'm not going to get Spurs. No, of course I won't get a Spurs tattoo. I won't even say the thing that you said earlier. I'll say, come on, you draws.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. I won't say that. Exactly. So BW Splitter, we've got 1 minute before we're out of here and the curtain's closed, guys. So Gordon to Trossard to bench Isak, or -4 for Isak and Gordon to Mateta, Saka benching Saka. Is the -4 worth it for Saka instead of Trossard? Can you get Kai, or do you already have Kai? Like, is it the, if you can afford Kai without the hit, I'd like it more than Trossard. Just because Trossard's getting to get subbed, I think, earlier on. So I would prefer to keep Kai if you can, but I don't think I'd take the -4, would you?
What's no, I wouldn't take the -4, but I'd, how much is Trossard?
Similar price to Havertz, I think, like maybe half a mil less.
I mean, Gordon to Diaz?
6.5.
Oh, 1 million less. Wow, okay. Trossard's 1 million less than Havertz.
If you can get to Diaz, I would go in that direction. If you're going... Or both crab. Yeah, I don't know. I wouldn't take that hit, though. No, I wouldn't do the hit route. I just don't know if there's much of a difference between Gordon and Trossard. Like, what upside are you chasing here?
It's not just that. You're then also benching Isak.
To do that, right? Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah, and I Trossard doesn't,
I think it's all, like it all right sideways.
Yeah. If you really want to do something crazy, Elliot's in Salah's position, so 4.8 for Harvey Elliott. But no. I'd rather that, though, for example, than a -4 to bring Saka in and benching or losing both my Newcastle players.
Yeah.
Gakpo to Jackson, to be fair. Okay. I think there's a few. Where was my?
I think you said Gakpo over Jackson, which.
Yeah, Gakpo over Jackson. So, man, Spurs going to click. He's got 3-1 from Podner. Good to see you, buddy, to Man Shitty. Hope I don't get a copyright claim for saying Man Shitty, but FPL K9 says, I think I will bring in Nico over Elise, something to play for vibes, but one of my mini guys has him. Yeah,
you won't have all of the same 11 as everyone in or anyone in your mini league, so you having Jackson and someone else having it, it's not going to come down to that one player in isolation. Yeah,
hopefully not. I'm just seeing any other bits. I think we covered all the questions. I see you talked about the Wilson punt as well. I actually got a DM from one of my SKLW teammates, and poor Frank, he was going to captain someone different in his final gung-ho attempt to come out the top 400K. And he's a really great manager for previous history, but this season he's been struggling. And I was like, yeah, you know, like what else is there to lose? I was like, you know, if you finish 400K or 300K, 200K, it's all the same. So Captain Wilson, news comes out, Wilson ain't in the squad. So I think the best thing that can happen for Frank now is that, like, Wilson doesn't make the squad for the second game either, because if he comes in and comes off that bench for a cameo, that is just going to be the final kick in the tooth for trying to take that punt. And thank God, obviously, for him that Haaland hasn't done, like, another 4-goal return in that time. But let's see how he feels after tonight. Yeah, let's see how he feels after tonight. Poor Frank. Thank you, everyone. Good to see you. Nope. You muted yourself. I was letting you talk. I was reading the side chat.
No, that was fine. You're fine to sign off there. All I was going to say is I was saying it to Gabe last week, but my pain last week was that I'd already made my transfer, removing Kai and bringing in Richarlison. And my dilemma was then, do I really do a -4 to bring Kai back in? Which would have been the right decision as things stand today. I bought Madueke in instead, but yeah, that's why Kai's coming back.
I remember listening to that part of the stream, actually, when you were deliberating, like, have I really done this? Am I going to buy him back for a hit? And you went for Madueke instead. Hopefully he can do some more for you this week as well still. So thank you, everyone. Good to see you all. We will be signing out for the 23-24 season. Enjoy the Euros. Enjoy the rest of this game week, the double in 37 and 38. And we'll see who wins the mini haul, the net that haul Discord mini league. And we will be in touch over Discord with you guys and get out some prizes as well over the summer. So congrats to everyone who's been involved. Thank you all for your support. We've been Net That Haul, and we will see you next time. Peace. Cheers.